brought to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. You can listen to this program again online at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Vipassana Meditation. That's V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A Meditation. Alternate weeks will be in Hindi. We will now hear an interview with the meditation teacher Anne Donovan, originally recorded on ABC Brisbane in March 2012.
We're at the Vipassana Centre at Pomona, set in the beautiful hillside, and Anne is the area teacher.
Yeah.
Which area are we talking about, Anne?
Queensland.
Oh, Queensland. What is Vipassana?
Vipassana is an art of living. So Vipassana is a Pali word, and Pali is actually a dead language now. It was the spoken language of India 2,500 years ago. And Pali, the Pali meaning of Vipassana, or the meaning is to see things as they are, not as they appear to be. So not to see things at the surface level, but to understand things at a deeper level.
The Vipassana Centre here on the Sunshine Coast, how long has it been here for?
Since 1989, 40 acres was purchased, and I think that was for a total cost of about 82,000. And since then another 20 acres has been added on, and courses have been held here regularly since that time, and I think we have about 22 10-day courses a year. Plus we have children's courses, teenagers' courses, as well as longer courses as well from time to time.
What happens at a course?
People come here from all walks of life. They might be mothers, fathers, business people. We get a lot of nurses, teachers, students, grandparents, people from all walks of life. And basically, the reason that they come to a place like the Vipassana Centre here is because they're looking for peace and harmony in their lives. Their lives are full of tension or stress, or they feel there's something more to life. So they apply to do a 10-day course here, and there's a process that they go through, and they're registered, and they arrive for the course, and the course is conducted by an assistant teacher, who is a very, very old student of Goenka Jesse. He's been appointed to that position. And it's taught over a period of 10 days. So the course is taught progressively, and every day the student receives new instructions. What they start off with, the first 4 days, is anapana. And anapana just means simply awareness of the breath. So the whole technique is just to learn to be in the present moment with the reality as it is. So there's no blind belief, there's no religious overtones, and we get people coming from all denominations, and they start off with anapana, and they learn the breathing technique just to be aware of the breath as it comes in and as it comes out. And when they first sit down, it sounds pretty simple to do, but most people find it very, very difficult, because the nature of the mind is to wander, so they'll take a few breaths and then the mind will be off in memories of the past, fantasies of the future, because thoughts aren't capable of being in the present moment. So that's their battle, is to just work very patiently and very persistently just to keep bringing that awareness back to the natural breath as it comes in and out. And eventually the mind settles down, it becomes calmer, more focused. And then on day four, they go into Vipassana. And they introspect the whole body at the level of sensations. So by then the mind is very sharp, very focused, and they're able to experience sensations throughout the body. And it's just to experience the sensations without reacting to them.
Is Vipassana a religion?
No, it's not a religion. It's an art of living. So Vipassana, there's no... So you deal with the human condition. Whether that's a tendency towards stress or anger or depression or all the different strong emotions that rule us in our lives, it's like a deconditioning process. So normally in life, when something happens that we don't like, we react blindly, and what we'll do is we'll feel awful within ourselves, and then we'll usually say something at the verbal level or do something at the physical level to hurt that person. So basically our decisions in life are based a lot on self-interest. and they're not certainly based on the welfare of what is good for the other person. So, and also these conditions, these mental conditions keep us so tense and so unhappy. So the technique is actually just to teach you not to react to those either emotions or those sensations as they come up, because nothing arises in the mind without a sensation in the body. Mm. So, for example, when anger arises, it manifests itself as thoughts, strong thoughts, and it also manifests itself as a sensation in the body. So one learns to observe that sensation and not react to it. So thereby, actually, you're not reconditioning the mind with more anger. Mm. It's like a deconditioning process. So you start to become master of your own mind. So, you know, when we say, is Vipassana a religion? So there's no such thing as Catholic anger or Jewish anger. Anger is anger. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It keeps you miserable. So it's actually, as I said, it's an art of living. It deals with the human condition. And there's no conversion from one organized religion to another organized religion. There's no charges for it. It's given freely for the 10 days. You know, your food and your board is provided, and that's a very good test of the technique, because if people don't feel benefited, they won't make a donation. As it is, we have this beautiful setting here with lovely accommodation and beautiful grounds, and it's all totally been made possible through donations. And having said that, also, no one receives remuneration for any of their volunteer service here, not the conducting assistant teachers or the staff. So this technique is very, very appealing to people of all denominations. And we've had Mother Superiors here, we've had Catholic priests, we've had people from all religions, and all have received benefit from the courses that have been conducted here.
Once you do a course, is there any kind of follow-up to that? Do you have a teacher who guides you, or what do you do once you've finished here at the Vipassana Centre in Pomona?
Well, as I say, the course is taught progressively over the 10 days. So once you've got the technique, and it takes a good full 10 days of, and I think it's about 12 hours a day of meditation, with interspersed with breaks, but once you've learned the technique, you can use it. Once you go out the gate, you can use it anywhere, anytime. And also you can always come back and sit at the centre for 1 hour. You know, do a 1 hour meditation sitting, or stay for a few days. But it's just that first day that people have to stay for the 10 days to learn the technique. As far as follow up goes, there's group sittings available in different areas, so people might go for a 1 hour group sitting just to keep their practice fresh. But apart from that, you know, you're your own master, so it's up to you how you want to apply the technique in life. It's now compulsory, for example, in the Indian government. Indian public servants have to do a 10-day course a year, because they found out that it cuts down sick leave. Improves productivity. It's now throughout many schools in India. It's compulsory for children. They learn just the breathing technique, and that's taught over a one-day course, because they found that the children, it improves their concentration, their karma, their marks have improved at school. And, of course, there's now, you know, hundreds of thousands of people practicing this technique in India, and not only in India. Courses are conducted around the world. There's six different centres in Australia alone. There's Europe, Mongolia, China, Burma, all through Europe now, Eastern Europe. Courses are being held in Iran. Courses are being held throughout South America, America. It's spread all around the world. And the amazing thing is that it's only spread by one person doing a course and thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. You know, I know someone in my life will benefit from it, and taking it back to their country, organising a course. Because, of course, there's no wealthy organisation behind this. There's no big machine driving it all. It's, for example, the centre here, and I'll talk now a little bit more about the organisation of it. It's the centres aren't owned by anyone. They're run by trusts. They're non-profit organisations. And the trusts are just nothing but old students who oversee the courses, and they've done a few courses, so it's their job just to maintain this technique in its purity, So, you know, there's certain guidelines and rules that are followed and make it possible for these courses to be held. So what you see around you now, this centre, which I think is valued at more than $3 or $4 million, is nothing but the product of people who have come and served selflessly or people who have sat a course and got benefit and given a donation. And it continues to spread. I think there's a new centre coming up in northern New South Wales now. So it's just gone around the world. Just from that first course, that first tiny course in Rajasthan in India, and that was back in about 1969.
We will now hear an extract from the question and answer session given by the Vipassana teacher, Mr. S.N. Goenka, in Boston, 2002.
I still do not understand how, by observing sensations on the body, the mind becomes purer. What is the scientific basis of this? Because the mind is constantly in contact with the body sensations. And the impurity is nothing but reacting with craving, with aversion, with ego, with fear, with passion. All kinds of these defilements that you generate makes the mind impure. And that happens not because of the outside object. Apparently, yes, because of outside object. But when the outside object comes in contact, there is a sensation in the body. And that is why the technique is to feel the sensation on the body and don't react. Feel the sensation on the body, don't react. Then it becomes purer and purer because the habit pattern of reaction goes away. You said that the Buddha discovered many truths. Why do you only talk of morality and awareness of breath and sensation? Yes, it is true. He was a great scientist. When we go through his words, it's very amazing. At one place he says he was walking through a jungle, quite a number of his followers there. In the evening they sat down under a tree and then some discussion started. He took a few dry leaves in his hand and said, the number of leaves in my hand, is this number more? Or the number of leaves on all the trees in the forest? Well, sir, no comparison. In your hand will be just a few leaves. The leaves in the jungle are so many. But look, my experience of the truth of the world is so much. But I don't talk things which are irrelevant. Only what the truth which is relevant to you. You are miserable. For you to understand the depth of the misery, for you to understand the cause of the depth of the misery, for you to understand how to eradicate that cause and come out of misery, this is relevant. And I am only teaching this. And that's true. We keep on talking, then it becomes a philosophical game. My belief is this and your belief is this. Leave all that aside. Whatever belief you have, the truth is that I am miserable because my mind is reacting with defilements. And there is a way to come out of that. Do you know something about the existence that will help today's scientists in their material research? Certainly, we are thankful to today's scientists. They have discovered so many truths which have been helping people. But there are more realities which one has to experience. Like the scientists have found out that the entire world is made of atoms, and there is also vibration. And I was told that in a bubble chamber, a scientific instrument, they discovered every bubble, every atom, arises and passes, the wavelets, 22 zeros after one. But by experience, one finds this great experience, this scientist he found, by the time I snap my finger or I blink, by the time, trillions of time, this atom arises, passes. What's the difference? The difference is you are experiencing it. And that you are accepting because you have confidence in your scientific instruments. You are experiencing, and then you are also experiencing that with this state of mind, how impurity arises when you react, what happens? When you don't react, what happens? So that is more important. So let there be scientific researches at the material level, nothing wrong in that. But at the same time, I would say that the modern scientists should also practice this, so that both inside at the experiential level and outside at the level of your laboratory, both must be together so that you get better results. Could you tell us about humor in life? Do you enjoy humor with your wife? Certainly. If the mind is pure, You must enjoy. What's wrong in enjoying? If the mind is agitated, then there's always conflict between the wife and the husband. Always some conflict or the other, difference of opinion. Now all that goes away. Even this difference of opinion, you smile. Oh yeah, this is your view and this is my view. So what? We live with that. But when conflict arises, when you get attached to your view, and one gets to my view, your view, my view is better, your view is wrong, and then the trouble starts. So let there be humor. Humor with a pure mind. Institutes like MIT exist because of imaginative mind. Vipassana may take away all creativity. Oh, no, 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 no. You'll become more creative, more creative. When you are practicing vipassana, at that time if imagination comes, then you are carried away with this imagination. You are away from the truth. And you are exploring your own truth. Know thyself. All the sages and seers have said, know thyself. Know thyself at the experiential level, and this is what you are doing. When you work, of course, imagination is needed. A good artist will use imagination, a writer will use imagination, but a good vipassana meditator will become a better artist, a better poet, a better literary man, and better scientist, because mind is so calm, so pure. Whatever one thinks will be a proper thing, not to harm others. He won't harm anybody. Have you tried other forms of meditation? Yes, I have been through a few. If not, how do you know this is best? I have been through a few. And not that I didn't get any benefit from them. I got benefit. When I went to this, I found that no meditation takes you to the depth of the mind. Depth of the mind is constantly in contact with body sensations. Mind and matter, only at the time of death they separate. Otherwise, mind and matter, the whole life is mind and matter, mind and matter. So if we forget the body, if you forget the sensations on the body, we are forgetting the depth of the mind. Any technique, you call it vipassana or you give any name, any technique which works with the body sensations and trains the mind not to react to body sensation takes you to the depth of the mind and gives the same result. You give this name or that name. So the question is how to go at the depth of the mind where one reacts to the body sensations. You have to start feeling different kinds of body sensations. Does a meditator become very passive? Passive in what way? That I am a vegetable, let anybody come and cut me, I don't care. Oh no, vipassana is not for that. If somebody is harming you or harming somebody else, that doesn't mean that you become passive, I don't care. He's doing a wrong action, he will suffer for that. Nothing doing. You have to stop this person. Otherwise, you're encouraging this person and you'll keep on harming others. Stop him. But first stop him by using very soft words, explaining him what you're doing. You are harming yourself also. And you are harming others. This person does not understand soft language. So you have to use hard language, hard action, and stop this person. But while doing so, don't generate anger. Don't generate compassion. Ignorant person, he doesn't know. But because he does not understand soft language, so I have to take hard action. Stop him with the base of compassion. That is the proper way to do. Are you always happy? Yes, always happy. Vipassana keeps me always happy. If I forget my vipassana, then I will start becoming unhappy. So be with vipassana and be happy like me. It is the Buddhist belief that humans need meditation. If it is true, then that we all have suffer meditation. Oh no, you're not suffering meditation. There's no question of Buddhist belief or what belief. This is law of nature. Every human being has to understand, not by belief, by experience. Look, unless I know what is happening deep inside at the experiential level, I keep on harming myself, harming others. This is misery. And if I keep on experiencing the truth, I come out of this habit, I don't harm myself, I don't harm others. There is nothing Buddhism in it. There is no Buddhist. Buddha never taught Buddhism one thing. A great misunderstanding started about Buddha, as if he founded a religion. He never founded a religion. He was a scientist. All his teaching, he says, Buddha or no Buddha, the law, universal law of nature is there. It remains. Buddha or no Buddha. A scientist discovers something. Whether he discovers or not, the law is there. Like Newton discovered the law of gravity. Law of gravity was there. Newton discovered it. Make use of it. So Buddha as a scientist discovered how you become miserable and how you can come out of misery. He discovered the truth about it. And he taught the people, explained to the people. People realized it. They accepted. And they started getting benefit of it. Not to make them Buddhist. Throughout the literature, about 15,000 pages of his words and about 35,000 pages of the commentary, sub-commentary, the word Buddhism is missing. In Hindi or in Sanskrit, we will say, or in Pali, we say Bodh. The word Bodh is missing. Whatever he teaches, he calls Dhamma, Dharma, Dharma. And those who follow, he calls Dhammi, Dharmi, Dhammiko, Dharmik. These are the words he uses. Till 500 years after Buddha, we find not only in the literature of Buddha, but other literatures in the country, the word Buddhist or Buddhism was not there. I don't know how it started and when it started and why it started, but his teaching has nothing to do with Buddhism or Buddhist. It teaches Dhamma, the law of nature, and makes people understand that at the experience level and live the life of Dhamma.
Vipassana, which means to see things as they really are, is one of India's most ancient techniques of meditation. It was taught in India about 2,500 years ago as a universal remedy for universal ills. Vipassana meditation is a simple, practical technique which enables one to lead a more positive, balanced and happy life. It focuses on the deep interconnection between mind and body, which can be experienced directly by disciplined attention to the physical sensations that form the life of the body and that continuously interconnect with and condition the life of the mind. Although Vipassana was practiced and taught by the Buddha, it contains nothing of a sectarian or religious nature. The technique of Vipassana meditation is taught at 10-day residential courses during which participants learn the basics of the method and practice sufficiently to experience its beneficial results. More than 100 meditation centers have been established around the world, including in Asia, the Middle East, Europe, North America, and Australasia. New Zealand has had a center since 1987. This program is brought to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. The New Zealand Center is located at 153 Burnside Road, Makarau, Kaukopakopa, approximately 1 hour drive north of Auckland. The website is www.medini.dharma.org. That is www.medini.dharma.org. The phone number is 09-420-5319. That's 09-420-5319. There are several centres in Australia. For more information, contact Dharma Bhumi at 212 Station Street, Blackheath, New South Wales. The telephone number is 02-4787-3600 and the website is www.bhumi.dharma.org. That's www.bhumi.dharma.org.